You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
On Friday, I spoke to Professor of Health Economics in the Faculty of Medical and Health Sciences at the University of Auckland, Paula Lorgelli, about these instructions delivered by Seymour to Pharmac and Dr. Anthony Jordan's resignation. I began the interview asking her for an outline of what the key points of the instructions were.
Yeah, so he wrote a five-page letter, which is a relatively easy read, if anyone is interested, and it points out some kind of headline areas, things like organisational culture, which was follows from some of the issues that happened in the media last year around the way that Pharmac engages with its stakeholders and engages with patients. Another point it made was about how Pharmac functions, and within that about what the statutory objective is for Pharmac, so that it maximises health within a given budget, and should they change that, they're looking to change that. Talked about tertiary of Waitangi and the role of the dual role that Pharmac has as a HTA agency and a procurement agency. Touched on how they're going to function around kind of medical devices because that's part of their remit now. Another headline was about the methods and processes, and then a further kind of headline was just about the broader health systems priorities and how Pharmac fits in with the rest of the healthcare system in terms of ministry and Health New Zealand, Te Whatu Ora.
Of the instructions in these announcements, which of the points were you pleased to see?
So I'm really pleased to see that actually methods and processes does take a headline in here. So as a health economist, I'm very interested in how the techniques and the methodologies that we use, how they actually get operationalised at a kind of an agency level. And I think it's pleasing to see that he hasn't just thought about the agency, but actually what the agency does. So that has pleased me that it's not just something about the culture and something about how the agency functions, but actually how the decision-making is made.
And did you have any concerns about any of the instructions and perhaps for how the future of Pharmac is operated here?
Yeah, so I have, it's not really a concern, it's just that it's a potential how it could function. So one of the things that it explicitly wants to do, and ACT had signalled this in their lead up to the election as part of their manifesto, was changing the way that Pharmac functions. At the moment, Pharmac has a role where it has to, its one objective is to maximise the amount of health it can buy in terms of how much quality adjusted life years or health outcomes it buys with its fixed budget, so it has a fixed budget. It looks like they're going to change that and think about, well, what if we had, what if we brought into our account some other things, not just about the fact that we're buying health and we're making people healthy, but actually thinking about how we're getting healthier people back to work and then bringing in a productivity angle. And their argument is when you bring in a productivity angle, then maybe we can ask for more money from Treasury, and then we can buy more drugs because we can show that we're making individuals more productive. And my issue with that, and I think people think, well, great, we're getting productive people back to work. No issue with that. But it's just about how that might sit if you can't be productive. So older people, people with chronic conditions who have limited ability to work, and also people who might be in lower value jobs, not because we don't value them, but because we don't pay them well, it might end up having a discriminatory effect for those individuals. So we have to be very careful about how we might operationalise it.
And just this afternoon, Stuff reported that a Pharmac director has quit in protest of Seymour rejecting considering tertiary in these instructions. Are you surprised by this, considering the public's response to this aspect of the announcement?
No, I'm not surprised at all. And in fact, I would get your listeners to go and read a brilliant article that's just appeared today in The Conversation by a colleague of mine from Charles Sturt University in Australia, who actually looks at some of these deeper issues and points out that these were five lines, literally five lines of a five-page document talked about paternity. But it was grandstanded in a way that it was almost all about the treaty. The idea that you should not focus on the treaty, given it's a statutory obligation, I think, for all government agencies to do that, is quite shocking. So full credit to that board member for standing down, and I suspect that many other people may follow or it may at least come out and say this is just not how our agency should function. I do hope, though, that because Māori and Pacifica as well, for that matter, there is still a statutory requirement to look at need and equity, so that some of this might be picked up in an equity lens that PharmAct has. But, yeah, it is pretty shocking that they have been told to exclude any consideration of paternity in their eventual decision-making.
That was the University of Auckland's Professor Paula Lajelli speaking to me about the government's expectations for PharmAct. Text us in on 5395 any of your thoughts on these pieces, or give us a call in the studio on 309 3879. We'll be right back. Keep it on the B.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.